bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Timothy was a man who Paul trained to be a pastor. Timothy took what Paul taught him and he had his own churches. Paul would always stay in contact with Timothy, and this is what the two letters of Timothy, they're like letters. You know how you write somebody an email? People used to write letters. These are letters to Timothy. And in the second letter, Paul says to Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What I'd like to think about for a few minutes with you guys today is that the Bible is the Word of God. It's very, very important that we understand this point. The Bible is the Word of God. From the very first page to the very last page. It means from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Bible is the Word of God. And everything in between. There's 66 books in the Bible. There are some people who try to add some books later. But the way that God gave it, the original books, there were only 66 of them. We can't add anything to it. And the Bible very strongly warns in Revelation 22, do not add anything. And don't take anything away. And the results of adding something for somebody are very bad. They get in a lot of trouble with God. If I try to add something to the Bible, or if I try to take away something from the Bible, God is really angry about that. So we don't do that. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. 66 books. It was written by 40 people. Now, some of these people were kings, very educated. They were statesmen, people in government. Other people were very simple. They were not educated. They never went to school. People like fishermen. Very simple people, some of them. There was a general who wrote some of the Bible. Some of them were priests. You'd kind of figure the priests would. But you wouldn't necessarily think fishermen would. But all kinds of different people wrote the Bible, and it took almost 2,000 years to write it. That means there was a lot of time in between the various parts of the Bible when they were written. However, what's amazing, there's people who study language and the way that people talk and the way that people write. And when these experts examine the Bible, they all agree this was written by one person. It's like, yes, there's 40 people. Yes, there's 2,000 years. They lived on three separate continents even. But the experts say all of this was really written by one person. And that's exactly what it says here. The Bible was given by God. Now, when it says by the inspiration of God, it's like this. You may have a businessman with a secretary. And the businessman says to the secretary, I would like you to write a letter for me. And he tells her what to write. He dictates the letter. And then the secretary writes down what the businessman said. And that's the letter. That's exactly how it was in the Bible. Sometimes people will say, well, the Bible was written by men. Well, that's only partly true. Men were like the secretary. You could say, well, that business letter was written by a secretary. Well, yes, she is the one who had the pen in her hand or the computer and was typing on it. But it was actually given to her by the businessman. In the same way, God gave these 40 people His word and He told them what to write. And so it was written by God, even though God used people to actually do the typing. So it's very much the word of God. And then it says He gave it to us for doctrine. Doctrine is instruction to teach us specifically what God thinks. That's doctrine, what God thinks. And we need to be taught what God thinks. And then it's given for reproof and correction. What that means is it teaches me how to not make mistakes. And then for instruction in righteousness. Now, when we talk about righteousness, what we're really talking about is faith. It teaches us how to live in faith. And then it says that every person might be complete, unto all the things that God has for them. In other words, have you ever tried something and you realize you don't know how to do it? And so they have to step back and they have to learn how to do it. That's the same kind of an idea. Right, how do I have faith? Well, I don't know how to have faith. Well, the Bible teaches me how to have faith. How do I experience who God is? How do I get to know Him? The Bible teaches me who God is. Anything there is regarding me and God, the Bible teaches me about it. And that's what it means by that every person might be complete. The Bible is true. Some people sometimes want to say it's not true because they don't want it to be true. But the Bible is true. Have you ever been in a situation where mom or dad says, I don't want you to do that, or I do want you to do that, and you wanted the other? Like your mom says, I want you to eat your dinner, but you say, Mom, I don't want to eat my dinner. And it's kind of like that with people too sometimes. God says, this is what I want, and people can say, I don't want to do that. And God says, this is what I want. I don't want to do that. Or God says, don't do that, and people say, I want to do that. No, God says, you don't do that. I want to do that. Well, sometimes when that happens, people will say, well, it's just not true. Well, it is true. And it says that in Psalm 119 and verse 160. The Bible is true from the beginning. That means from the beginning of time and from the very first word of the Bible. It is all true and it's always been true and it's always going to be true. It's the one thing that doesn't ever change. A lot of things change. The Bible does not change. Then the question becomes, how do I know it's the Word of God? It tells me, first of all, that it is. But we're kind of funny. We like to ask ourselves, well, how do I know? The Bible tells us how we can know that it's true. If something is true, you should be able to make a prediction using that information and have your prediction be correct. In science, you do that all the time. A scientist comes up with an explanation for something. If my explanation is correct, then this is how these other things should be. And when they are that way, then the scientists know, yes, my explanation was correct. And if they're not that way, then the scientists know, oh, I made a mistake. It's not that way. Well, the Bible says the same thing about itself. If the things that it says are true, then it's correct. And the way you know that is because it makes a lot of predictions. So we're going to look at a couple of these predictions, and that'll be the rest of the message. Imagine, for example, if I told you that you could walk through the wall, would you believe me? It would seem pretty amazing, wouldn't it, to say you can walk through the wall. Why? Because your experience has told you that if you go into the wall, you're going to hit your head or something, and you're not going to walk through the wall. Well, that happens in the Bible all the time. Do you know, for example, when people invented airplanes? It was 1908, just over 100 years ago, the first airplane was invented. But the Bible said 2,700 years ago that people would fly. That's like saying to people, you're going to grow wings. 2,700 years ago, the Bible said you're going to be able to fly. It said that in Isaiah 60 and verse 8. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their roots? And also in Isaiah 40:31, it says that people will rise up with wings as eagles. And also it says that in a book called Obadiah. This is one of those that people have trouble finding when they open to the Bible. It says that in chapter 1 and verse 4 that people would hide among the stars. Have you ever been out at night and you saw an airplane at night and you weren't sure if it was a star or an airplane? And maybe you thought it was a star, but it's moving, so you realize, oh, that's an airplane. It's hiding among the stars because they're flying. And the Bible said 2,700 years ago, that's 2,600 years before it actually happened. And it did happen. You know, people have gone to the moon, right? People have been in space, not very far in space, but people have been in space. And the Bible told us that would happen. Now, the first person to go into space was in 1961. almost 60 years ago, not quite, but almost 60 years ago. In 1969, people went to the moon. The Bible told us in Amos 9:2b, that's 2,500 years ago, the Bible told us that people would climb into heaven. Well, that's the second heaven. Space is the second heaven. And that people would go into this heaven, into space, and they would be there. That's pretty remarkable. What would you say if I told you that you could live underwater? You could in a submarine. Well, that same book, Amos, 2,500 years ago, said that people would live in the bottom of the sea. You know when the first submarine was invented? In the 1600s. But 2,500 years ago, the Bible said it was going to happen. That's a pretty good prediction, and it came true. See, the thing is, the Bible predicts things that seem impossible, and they come true. It's the same as me saying, you're going to walk through walls. That seems impossible, but it comes true. Now, there are some things the Bible tells us, and they're kind of sad. Like the Bible tells us about the atom bomb. I'm not going to really go into what it says about that, because it's not a whole lot of fun to read about that. But I will tell you that it does say it in Zechariah 14:12. The Bible describes the atom bomb. And it took place in 1945. And it told us that again about 2,500 years ago, 2,500 years ago, it told us about the atom bomb. That's pretty remarkable. Because there's no way those people could tell you what that meant. They didn't even know what bombs were. Forget atom bombs. They didn't know what bombs were. Do you know when cars were invented? The first car was invented in the late 1700s. But they didn't really start building them until the early 1900s, until about, again, 100 years ago. That's when they really started building cars because they could manufacture them. And that's when you started getting a lot of cars. Well, the Bible says in Nahum chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, it tells us about cars. Well over 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, they're telling us about cars and what it was going to look like. Have you ever seen a picture at night of a city? Maybe a photograph? And you have the cars, and the cars look like these white streaks that kind of look like lightning? That's exactly what Nahum said they would look like, that they would look like lightning. And there would be so many of them that they would be bumping into each other on the roads. Well, those guys had no idea what a car was. Do you know why you need to breathe? Because if you don't breathe, you're going to die. There's something called oxygen. It's something in the air. Oxygen goes into your blood. It's carried by your blood. And it's the oxygen that allows you to be alive. Your cells use it for very important processes. The oxygen allows you to be alive. Now, we didn't know this until fairly recently. And doctors discovered that it's the oxygen that's in the blood that the cells utilize. And that oxygen is what gives your cells life. Well, the Bible said that in Leviticus 17:11. Leviticus was written almost 3,500 years ago. 3,500 years before anybody understood it. The Bible told us that the life of the flesh is carried by the blood. And it's exactly right. It's in the oxygen. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Here's another one. In Leviticus 15:13, also 3,500 years ago, have you ever had your mom tell you wash your hands before you eat? That's because there's germs, and you don't want the germs on your hands before you touch your food, because it can make you sick. And so you wash your hands before you eat, so you don't get sick. Well, they found that out only about 150 years ago. There was a Hungarian doctor, and he would deliver children. And often, in those days, when children were born, the mothers couldn't survive. Because they would get sick because of germs, and they didn't know it was the germs. They didn't know why. But this Hungarian doctor noticed that if he washed his hands in between patients, his patients would be healthier. And so he introduced hand washing in the hospital where he worked, and a lot of the mothers stopped dying because this doctor started washing his hands. Well, the Bible told us about that. 3,500 years ago in Leviticus 15:13, it said, wash things, wash your hands, wash your clothes. If they become contaminated with something, wash them. People didn't normally do that. Because why would you do it? If you don't know it's a problem, why would you worry about it? But it was a problem, and they just didn't know it. But those people who listened to the Bible turned out to be a whole lot healthier than the people who didn't. Like when you get sick, why do people keep you home from school when you're sick? Well, there's two reasons. You need to get some rest so you can heal, and so you don't spread germs. The Bible told us, again, 3,500 years ago, that if you don't want to spread germs, if you don't want other people to get sick, if you're sick, stay away from them. It's called quarantine. And likewise, if somebody else is sick, you don't want to get too close to them so that their germs don't get on you. And the Bible told us that long before we knew what a germ was. We didn't discover germs until the 1700s. In Europe, back in the 1300s, also into the 1400s, have you ever heard of the plague? The plague was a type of a disease. It was carried by rats, and the rats had fleas, and the fleas had the disease. And back then, people didn't bathe too much. Now, what they didn't know was how this disease was spread, that it was actually spread by rats and things. They didn't know where it was coming from. What they didn't know is that when a ship came from the Orient, which is like China and Japan and these kind of places, when a ship came into port from one of these types of places, often you would find people getting sick soon after. And the reason is because if a ship was perhaps in China, a rat would sneak on board the ship. Because this disease, nothing against that part of the world, it's just history. This disease came from that part of the world, from like China and those places. And the rats were the ones that had the fleas with the disease. And so the rat would come on the ship, and that was very common, because they would store a lot of food on ships so the sailors would have something to eat. And the rats went right after the food. And the rats would get on the ships, and the fleas were on the rats, and the plague was in the fleas. The plague is that disease. And the ship would come over, let's say, to Italy or someplace like that, and it would unload, and the rats would go off of the ship, and then the fleas that were on the rats would start biting people in that area, and that was pretty common, especially since people didn't take too many baths. They often had fleas. And they didn't know it, but when one of those sick fleas bit a person, that person would then die, usually the next day. It was a very fast-moving disease. And about one half of all of Europe died from this disease. It was awful. It was a terrible disease. Well, in Italy, in Venice, there was a young boy who was reading the Bible. And he read this in Leviticus. And he told his priest, look, it says here that if people are sick, they shouldn't come near people. And so the priest took it to the town mayor, and he ordered that when a ship comes into port, no one is allowed to go in or out of the ship for a month. And the ship has to sit there in port for a month before anybody can get off the ship, before any door can be opened. And in that town, they wiped out the plague. Because sick people didn't come into contact with healthy people. Well, that was written in the Bible. You see, they didn't understand why it worked, but they did it, and it worked beautifully. That's so much of the Bible. We may not always understand why, but when we listen to the Bible, it works beautifully. Things always go right when we listen to the Bible. They always go wrong when we don't. So if you want things to go right, you listen to the Bible. If you don't want things to go right, then you're crazy. There was a time when people thought the world was flat. The church is sometimes falsely accused of claiming the world is flat. That was a lie that was introduced by George Washington Carver in his book about Christopher Columbus, which was mostly fiction, was made up. But the reality of it is that the church really did not think the world was flat. But there was a time when people did think the world was flat, generally speaking. The church didn't think the world was flat because of Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 22. It says the world is round. And because the Bible says the world is round, people like Christopher Columbus and Magellan, which was in the late 1400s and early 1500s, they were bold enough to try to travel around the world. Because they knew they weren't going to fall off any edges. Why? The Bible says it's round. Round doesn't have an edge. So they knew they could get to the other side, which is what Columbus wanted. He wanted to get to India on the ocean rather than across land. And he was in Europe. You would normally have to go across a lot of land. It took a very long time to go from Europe to India because he was looking for spices. But he figured, you know what? The world is round. I should be able to sail around the world to India. And he wanted to try that. That's how he ends up discovering America. They didn't know there was a big piece of land in between. Pastor Luis was there at the time. He welcomed him.
He's still 32, too.
So they discovered America because they knew that the world was round. And then a few years later, this guy Magellan, he wanted to go around the world also. And he's the first one who actually did it successfully. Well, he didn't do it, but the people who were with him, he died on the way. But they went all the way around the world because they knew it was round because they read Isaiah. Isaiah told us it was round long before anybody ever knew it. That was like 2,700 years ago. Do you know what a universe is? Do you know what it's made of? It's made of a fabric, which is really kind of weird. It's a different fabric than what we're used to. It's not like a fabric like your coat. But it is made of a type of a fabric. And people thought that the universe was a lot of nothing. And in this nothing, there were planets and stars and asteroids and meteorites and galaxies and things. But they thought everything in between was nothing. Well, that's not actually correct. It's made of fabric. And that still blows people's minds. It's still hard for scientists to understand how this is a fabric and they're still trying to figure it out. But Albert Einstein showed us 100 years ago that it was made of fabric. And recently, only like a couple of years ago, scientists finally proved that it really is a fabric. Well, the Bible told us 3,000 years ago in Psalm 104:12 that God spread out the universe like a curtain. That's a fabric. You see, things that we're just figuring out, the Bible told us thousands of years ago. Remember what I told you about predicting? The Bible's really good at predicting because it's all true. And even when people think it's not true, because we can't always figure it out, but even when we think it's not true, it's still all true. So what we know is that if the Bible says something and some person says, I don't know about that, we know the Bible's right and the person is making a mistake. And you can be confident in that. Stars are in motion. They're moving really, really fast. But people used to think stars are not in motion, that stars are in place, that they're not moving at all. And it wasn't until 1929 that an astronomer named Edwin Hubble proved that the stars were actually in motion. Well, the Bible told us the stars were in motion about 3,400 years ago in Judges. The Bible talks about the stars being in their pathways in Judges 5:20. And so it told us they were in motion thousands of years before people figured it out. Now, here's one you might like. You ever watch something like Star Trek or anything? Imagine if I told you that you could disappear and reappear. What would you say to that? What if I told you that you could be sitting there and all of a sudden you could disappear and you could reappear maybe at your parents' house, or you could reappear in Italy and it would be pretty much instant? What would you say to that? You'd say that's impossible, right? What if I told you that the scientists are figuring out that you can make that happen? They've taken very simple things, not a person or an animal or anything like that, but just something very, very simple. And they made it disappear in one place and reappear in another. They're still working on it. That's part of physics called quantum mechanics. And they don't really understand this area of physics at all yet. It's a very new area of physics. But they're finding out that it is possible. You can make something disappear and reappear. And they don't quite get how it works yet. But they know it does work. And they're researching it right now. Now the amazing thing is that 2,000 years ago, in Acts chapter 8 and verses 29 to 30, the Bible told us that there was a man who disappeared and reappeared. His name was Philip. And God caused him to disappear and reappear. In science, that's called quantum teleportation. Big word for disappear and reappear. They're still trying to figure that one out. Bible told us 2,000 years ago it can be done. There's something that's called time dilation. In other words, Einstein told us that time is not the same everywhere. That time changes depending on how fast you're going. Time changes. On 2 Peter 3:8, time dilation is thoroughly described. Again, 2,000 years ago, what we just found out about 100 years ago. And the Bible tells us about it. What if I were to tell you that the United States would go away, and I would tell you exactly the day 2,000 years from now when it would reappear? And you would kind of scratch your head and say, that's kind of unlikely. But you know what Israel is? Israel is a country. The Jews who live in Israel, that's their homeland. They're from Israel. They're God's people. They're God's chosen people. You're God's chosen people too, but because you accept Christ. They were God's chosen people as a nation. Not all of them are saved. Some of them are saved. Some of them are not saved, but as a nation. Okay, in other words, God wanted that nation. Israel disappeared. It happened in the year 68. Rome came into Israel and he wiped it out. And the Jews were sent all over the world. And they did not come back as Israel until 1948. That's almost 1,900 years later. That's pretty remarkable. Now, what if somebody could tell you even before it happened that it would happen, and then that they would come back in 1948? What if I told you that America was going to disappear, Americans would go all over the world, but in 1900 years they would all come back right smack back to America? That's exactly what happened. It happened in Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 4 and 6. And then in Leviticus 26, 14 to 18, there's two principles given there. When they put them together, and people have done this, you put them together, and it told us that Israel first disappeared. It disappeared twice. They were taken into captivity in the 500s before Christ. They were taken into captivity. And then they were brought back for a little while. But then they were taken away again in 68, which was around 40 years after Jesus died. That's a long time ago. But the Bible told us that they would come back in 1948. And this was about 2,500 years ago and 3,500 years ago. Those two things put together told us they would come back in 1948. They told us that Israel would be chastised, disciplined by God, and that's why they were sent out, because they rejected Jesus. Okay, so they were disciplined by Him. But it also told us how that discipline works and how long it takes. And when you put the numbers together, how the discipline works and how long it takes, from the time that it took place, the year when Israel had to return was 1948. 2,500 years before it happened, God said Israel would come back, and He gave the numbers, and the numbers amounted to 1948. Israel became a nation again on May 15th of 1948. And God said 2,500 years before it happened that it would happen. When the Bible says it, it's true, even if you can't understand it. It's still true. Why? Because it's the Word of God. And there's going to be a time when we can't understand the Word of God, because God's thoughts are above our thoughts, the Bible says. His thoughts are different than ours. They're much bigger than ours. But that's okay. We can still trust Him, even if we don't understand Him. Because the Bible is the Word of God. It's true, and it's reliable, and you can trust it. Okay?